Part 2, Chapter 4, The New Genesis of the Soul. The modern spiritual school possesses two spheres of activity, one in the material sphere and one in the vacuum of Shambhala. Essentially, there is one spiritual school active in two different situations. You will realize how necessary this is and how philosophically, mystically, and scientifically justified. Suppose that, owing to the activity of the spiritual school in the material sphere, 100 pupils have been helped, after very much trouble, in finding the way. You know by experience how much trouble, how much exertion is necessary sometimes to lead a pupil on the right track. Well, in our example, 100 pupils are as far as that, but they have by no means yet entered the new life field, the third state of consciousness. Suppose that owing to the death of these 100 brothers and sisters, the work that was begun were to be nullified. That would be strange, unnatural, and highly illogical. Therefore, we are very glad to be allowed to make known the existence of the Brotherhood of Shambhala more clearly and less veiled than ever before as a consistent extension of the school. All those who live in the rational moral consciousness system and have started the work of self-Freemasonry have become Jesus-born and have conquered death. In case of the incidental loss of the body, they continue the work they began in the other realm, the vacuum of Shambhala. Upon hearing this, you might be of the opinion, the sooner the better. But such a point of view would be very incorrect and bear witness to a great I-centrality. It would prove that you are certainly not in the process mentioned. Firstly, you should understand that the material sphere is the basis of your reversal. Secondly, you have been able, as an image-bearer of God and owing to your birth in the material sphere, to start upon your way. Thirdly, this has led to a connection with the microcosm. Fourthly, by remaining in the material sphere as long as possible, you are able to consolidate the work begun. Fifthly, by rendering service in the material sphere as long as possible, you are able to incite others to go that same path. Sixthly, as you will see later on, your attitude of life in the material sphere will be of great influence on those who are in the other realm. Having served our time to the utmost, it is of course not wrong that we long to some extent for that other realm. However, serving the ecclesia on earth as one who has entered the new state of being, one is, at the same time, in essence, connected with the other realm and its brotherhood. We are also resident there at the same time. If we understand this well, it becomes clear that both realms, both aspects of the spiritual school, are equivalent. They influence each other and relate with each other every second. They are essentially one. Yet, owing to our realization of space and time, we ourselves separate them and we map out time in past, present, and future. Actually, we are longing for a future that is already ours in the present. Now, if you understand this, you are at once aware of this unity. Then you become conscious of the reality of the other realm and you can associate with it to a certain extent. This insight saves you much misery and quite a lot of mystification. Never before we have spoken so openly in publications about this subject, because we wanted to prevent spiritualistic unsavoriness and the grasp of the reflection sphere. You may now ask, are these dangers no longer present? That is not what we want to say. But a number of pupils have become much riper and, what is most important, and preponderant, the time has come. Time compels us to speak. We have to introduce these aspects to you now. Perhaps you know how many people are sensitive to the reflection sphere. In fact, in an existential sense, all of us are, because we live by the grace of the dialectical magnetic field. With reflection sphere sensitivities, we mean every occult and mediumistic behavior, owing to which one sees or hears, for instance, phenomena from the other side, or perceives them in another manner and allows oneself to be misused and duped. Such events always come about with the help of the qualities of the soul that are inherited from our ancestors, by means of the blood, or karmically via the magnetic system of the aural being of the microcosm. As a rule, these go hand in hand. May we tell you most emphatically that the results of such an occult and mediumistic behavior will not enable you to make contact with the Brotherhood of the Other Realm in any way. All prattle of, I have seen this or have heard that, we have this or that message for you, invariably relates to reflection sphere activity. You should refuse these manifestations radically in whatever way and from whatever side they may come to you, even if it were in the most elevated form or by means of your best friends. No human being can observe the other realm with the ordinary natural consciousness of the material sphere or the reflection sphere. What is more, such a person cannot even suspect the existence of the other realm. Therefore, all information about it is discounted by him. A striking example of this was Augustine. When he heard from the brother and sister Manichaeans about the other realm and its material manifestations, he tried in all possible ways to obtain certainty about its existence. Of course, he did not achieve any result. As is customary in intellectual circles, he began to reject, to deny the things he himself could not feel, hear, and observe. In fact, it is quite understandable that from a dialectical state one cannot observe the other realm, nor penetrate it with any occult power, because the other realm, the vacuum of Shambhala, exists in another magnetic field that does not correspond in the least with dialectics. That is why the prologue of the Gospel of John testifies that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness cannot possibly absorb this light, this radiation field, and still less react to it. The field of observation and activity of a purely dialectical human being is limited by the magnetic laws of his field of existence. All that falls outside it cannot possibly exist for such a man, neither can it communicate itself to him. When a pupil enters the spiritual school, the first task of the school is to approach him in his intellectual state. If this appears to be open for it, he experiences a moral stirring, a reaction to the intellectual impulses sent to him. If this moral stirring works well, the sternum opens, the rose of the heart unfolds itself, and the stream of the gnosis of the other magnetic field can touch him. Then in that sense the gnosis can abide with such a pupil. Then, even if only in a most elementary manner, the second atom nucleus, the rose of the heart, is connected with the image-bearer, the pupil, as a third atom nucleus. The microcosm has then become more or less complete, and three cooperating nuclei are placed in a beginning process. This remarkable process of recovery of the original microcosm becomes active, especially at the moment that the pupil concerned applies the twofold magic administration of faith and life. When, very consciously, he accepts this process with his rational moral state of consciousness, the Jesus radiations, the walking about within him, begins. By a new attitude of life, he clears the way within him for that purpose. It is a prenatal process in which the embryo of the new immortal soul is formed. If you have seen a human embryo, you know that even in the initial stage, the serpent fire, the cerebrospinal system, is especially noticeable. The embryo of the immortal soul has a similar form. This matrix, this serpent fire, is the axis of the new soul system. In our ordinary personality, there are two magnetic poles. The North Pole corresponds with the seven-branched candelabrum in the head, with the seven cerebral cavities. The South Pole corresponds with the sacral plexus, take note of this name, situated at the lower end of the backbone, a plexus that is actually the center of sanctification par excellence. By means of the magnetic North Pole, the ordinary magnetic forces are absorbed and concentrated in the serpent fire system. By means of the magnetic South Pole, among other things, the hereditary factors, the karmic factors, are connected with the serpent fire and thus with the whole system. During life, while the magnetic system of our biological existence functions normally, and it provides for the needs of the body and the personality, the foundation is laid in the pupil for an entirely new magnetic personality system. The north pole of this system corresponds to the fourth cerebral cavity. The south pole is found in a part of the sacral plexus. The connecting link between these two poles, the connecting axis, is not formed by the serpent fire that is still used by the ordinary magnetic processes, but by the two strings of the sympathetic nervous system. The feeding of this magnetic system does not take place via the magnetic brain system that is still entirely inaccessible for the gnosis, but via the sternum, the rose of the heart, the fourth cerebral cavity, and the two strings of the sympathetic nervous system. In such a way, a basis for a new state of the soul develops. This prenatal development of the new state of the soul takes place entirely outside the ordinary consciousness. Consequently, here one must speak of a subconscious genesis of the soul. Suppose that this new genesis is taking place in you, as a result of which the magnetic poles are formed within you, and the new axis between them has been drawn via the sympathetic nervous system, and that you were to die tomorrow. That which is of the nature of death will then break up, but the microcosm, inclusive of the immortal, new soul principle, will go to the other realm and be taken up in the vacuum of Shambhala. Everything that is of ordinary nature disappears. But the microcosm with the three original life nuclei, the atom nucleus in the aural being, the one corresponding with the rose, and that present in the embryonic new soul being, enters the other realm. What takes place now in the vacuum of Shambhala? Just think it over, for you can give a complete reply to this question yourself. Imagine you were suddenly to return to the biological, embryonic state, so to the situation before your birth, then you would live, but not be aware of it, as there is no consciousness as yet. Therefore, in this embryonic state, you would not be able to lead a life of action. Then imagine you were to die as a pupil of the spiritual school, in the possession of something of the immortal state of the soul, and the microcosm with this embryonic soul arrives in the other realm. The remaining part of your personality, inclusive of the consciousness you have now, disappears. Your state of Mr. or Mrs. So and so disappears, as does your rational moral consciousness. Only what you have of the new consciousness, the embryonic soul principle, arrives in the other realm, in a sleeping state, in an embryonic, non-conscious state. Then you are asleep in Jesus, submerged in Jesus. The old Adam disappears, literally, in the Jesus radiations, in the Gnostic magnetic radiations and their edifice. The new embryonic soul exists in the vacuum of Shambhala. It really sleeps in the womb of eternity, in the womb of the Universal Mother. What will presently emerge will bear no resemblance to spur old dialectical state of being. That need not disappoint you, for as we have explained, even a pupil who is still hardly able to breathe in the new magnetic manner will no longer empty his microcosm. The microcosmic system that fell aeons ago has already escaped from the wheel of death. In the vacuum of Shambhala, the development of the new soul embryo continues through the unhindered love activity of the light force that is the vacuum of Shambhala. When the awakening takes place, this is also the birth in the consciousness of the new race, the consciousness of the new life field. Then Jesus the Lord has truly risen. Then you celebrate your resurrection, and you possess a personality state that adapts entirely to the new soul embryo. Should there still be any disappointment in you, let us try to take away even its last remnants by pointing out that it is not necessary to arrive in the other realm in such an embryonic state of the soul. In the example we gave, we outlined the absolute minimum that must be attained. We assumed that you have just started on the path. The two magnetic poles have formed themselves and something of the new soul embryo is present. Now you die and you go to the other realm. What you have tried to awaken so laboriously with your rational moral consciousness and with your Freemasonry remains in existence and defies all death. How splendid this is, but you need not leave it at that. As long as life is left to you, you can cause your prenatal new life of the soul to progress by giving yourself entirely in service to mankind and by living the life the Brotherhood proposes to you. You can already hear in the material sphere, awaken with respect to the new consciousness. When you presently cast off your old suit, then you will arrive in the other realm as one who is already awakened. Among other things, you will find there an enormous field of activity, and you will be of use to all those sleeping new souls. But the main preoccupation is to enter as a community, as an ecclesia, in the new life field, and to meet and unite with those who reach this new life field from the combating church on earth, the spiritual school. Grand developments are taking place. The Brotherhood of the other realm and the Brotherhood here approach each other. They will merge, presently, quite consciously, from both sides. As one group, they will enter the new life. Many brothers and sisters whom we have known well, who have stayed and lived among us, have preceded us already to the other realm. Let us exert ourselves to the utmost to celebrate together this glorious meeting.